Well, how you doing? Zach Costin,
TJ Laramie,
Adam Henrique,
Joe Siddle, Megan
Augusta, Tyrone Crawford.
Holy mackinaw, you're listening to Wind City Sports.
What up, everyone, and welcome back to the Wind City Sports Podcast, Windsor's only local sports podcast, presented by Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC. My name is Drake DeMore, your host for the Wind City Sports Podcast, available anywhere podcasts are found, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and so much more. Give us a like, follow, subscribe on whatever social media you might use, at WindCity_sports, and give us a review on whatever podcasting app you might use, and hopefully a good one. Tell your friends, family, teammates, coaches, training partners, neighbors, tell them all about the Wind City Sports Podcast to help me spread the stories of our guests, regularly featuring interviews with local athletes, coaches, entrepreneurs, and more, and as well as breaking down all the local sports news we can possibly gather. More on that as the show goes on, and we'll get to that shortly. But today is Thursday, August 4th, 2022, and it's episode 263 of Wind City Sports, going back to our OG ways and dropping a podcast on a Thursday. I guess we'll start off with that. As if you've been listening, I wasn't sure how long this podcast would continue for. Kind of went on a little bit of a hiatus, but was able to score some interviews with some Windsor Spitfires, and obviously after their run, how could I not? So we have... I was able to get three out of the five that I wanted, one still possibly in the works, and then the other was Nathan Rebo. He was traded in the offseason here, so no access to get him. But let's jump into our guest this week. He's a local kid. He's a Windsor Spitfire. He was on the team, obviously, for the last 2 years, and, of course, with our championship contender team. Again, a kid from Windsor. His dad is a local coach here in Windsor as well, and comes from a great hockey family, and athletic family, and entrepreneurial family as well. It's Matt Maggio this week on the Wind City Sports Podcast. Had to get this one out there and was waiting for a good time to do it. We're going to talk about our Windsor Clippers advancing to the finals, winning the Western Conference, joining our Windsor Spitfires as Western Conference champions in their own regard this year in 2022. Talk all about that in a little bit, but basically the last couple episodes have just been coming out, you know, when it's convenient, when I'm ready to do it, and when we can talk about some other local sports news like the Clippers, pretty much the only thing going on right now. We do have the Windsor TFC soccer team and Windsor Stars baseball as well are back after at least a 2 year hiatus, I think. So we'll talk about that throughout the show. But basically, I just wanted to get it out there that we'll likely be going back on hiatus, and this could be the last episode for all I know. It's one of those things that I just can't do it. I just can't give it up just yet. So who knows what the future will hold, as I've said in the past episodes. If we get an opportunity to have a guy like Ty Domi, and I'm throwing out, you know, my white whales that I still haven't been able to get, or Luke Wilson, then, you know, we'll sit down and we'll do those interviews and we'll release podcasts, and we'll always have a social media presence, YouTube presence. We're uploading archived Zoom interviews, and this Zoom interview with Matt Maggio will be available there as well. If you're listening right now, you can actually just watch the interview on YouTube. But, you know, we'll still be out there promoting local sports and, you know, creating this social media following that we have for over 6 years, or I have. I don't like to be greedy, but it's a one-man show here. And we're going to continue to do that and still be involved, but there just likely won't be weekly podcasts going forward. Again, unless, you know, something comes up that I get a good opportunity to have a great guest, which, I mean, that being said, I could have a great guest every week. I have never had a bad guest, and... you know, so there's a lot of people out there to get to that I haven't gotten to yet, and more people that'll rise throughout the years to come. But that being said, we're going to get into our episode this week officially. We'll get into the interview with Matt Maggio in a little while, but first we're going to kick things off talking about some local sports news. But before any of that, I got to tell you about Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC. Value your trade, get financing, and more at Chevy Buick GMC in Amherstburg. Each Buick, Chevy, GMC, and CPO vehicle is thoroughly inspected and reconditioned and includes factory-backed limited warranties on roadside assistance. Buying a new or pre-owned vehicle has never been this easy. Head over to Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC to find out how. They believe in customer satisfaction and try to make it their mission that each and every customer is happy with their service. The credit experts down at Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC help you provide a niche financing option to suit your needs. To speed things up, just fill out a secure financing application form online and get in touch. Check them out at AmherstburgGM.com or on Sandwich Street South in Amherstburg. Again, that's Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC. Quick and to the point, and we'll get back to business here. But the folks down at Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC certainly know what they're doing. All right, let's start talking about some local sports news before we get into the Matt Maggio interview. It's a great one, too. You guys are going to love this kid. And we'll talk about him after as well. But we're going to kick things off talking about our Windsor Clippers Junior B lacrosse team. They're the talk of the town in the sports world right now in Windsor, advancing to the finals of the OBJL finals. They are now the Western Conference champions after one hell of a series with the Allura Mohawks, following their crazy series with the Hamilton Bengals as well. So we'll break that down in a little bit. But as talked about at the beginning of this podcast, two teams in Windsor to win Western Conference championships in Ontario, our Junior B lacrosse team, Windsor Clippers, and our Junior A, Windsor Spitfires. Again, we're going to talk to Matt Maggio in a bit, so that's pretty much the theme of this episode. But I want to get you caught up and let you know about the upcoming series. It's going to be a little bit different. So the Clippers take this series, the Western Conference series, in a convincing 3-2, going all the way to 5 games. Let's go through the games. They opened things up going back 2 weekends ago in Allura with the Mohawks defeating the Clippers 11-8. From there, they came home and started exchanging wins. 10-7 was the final for the Clippers. Then from there, things got really tight. Last Saturday, the Clippers beat the Mohawks 7-5. On the road, and then came back home with a chance to wrap it up on Sunday, this past Sunday, and actually lost to the Mohawks 6-5 in a final at the Forest Glade Arena. No overtime was needed for that one or for any game in this series, and it all came down to Game 5 this past Monday in Allura, on their home turf with their fans. As you may have seen on social media, if you haven't been to any games, the Forest Glade Arena, the Shipyard, has been packed as well. So obviously having an influence on that. And they pull out one hell of a finish. 6-5 was the final score. Two 6-5 games in a row. And Caden Brennan actually had an unassisted game-winning goal at the end of it. It actually put them up 6-3 at the time, but two answers from the Mohawks throughout the period wasn't enough for them to take this game or even tie it up to send it to overtime. Connor McManus had two goals, one unassisted and one from Zane Dalpy and Max Frattaroli. Zane Dalpy also topped up his scoring card with a goal on the power play from Frattaroli. Josh Rosa and Xander Durkatz also putting up goals for the Clippers. So those were our heroes of the game. Definitely guys to watch out for. Josh Rosa, as I mentioned, his brother Jake Rosa was a great player for our Clippers playing college right now as well. Zane Dalpy has been unbelievable. Not to be confused with Zach Dalpy. And with all that being said, the Clippers are now set to start the final series, the championship series, this weekend, and things are going to be a little different, as mentioned too. Usually going back and forth, home and away games. We're going to have two at the Forest Glade Arena this weekend. Game one, Saturday, August 6th at FG Arena, 7 p.m. Game two, the following day, August 7th at Forest Glade Arena, this time at 2 p.m. Then from there, all three games, and two of them, if necessary, will be in the home barn of their opponent for the OJBLL Finals, who we haven't mentioned yet. They're taking on the Nipen Knights. They are a good team. They have been, on the other side of the fence, to say. The Eastern Conference, they're the champions coming out of there. So this is going to be a team that they haven't played yet before. Very similar to our Windsor Spitfires, actually, when they faced off against the Hamilton Bulldogs. So Junior B Clippers are... Yeah, our Junior B lacrosse team, they're always good. They're always a powerhouse, but there's always some good teams more up north in Ontario. So This is the first time I think they've been to the final in a little bit. Obviously, I haven't played the last 2 years. They usually make it to the conference final again as a good team, but we'll see if they can make the best of it and take home a championship. Windsor's really striving for it, that's for sure, and I'll be there to support them probably Sunday, if not both games, at the Forest Glade Arena. Say what up if you see me. But we did mention that we have this team going to the finals. We had another team going to the finals this year, and that was our Windsor Spitfires. So now it's time to talk to Matt Maggio of the Spitfires, Windsor Zone. Here we go.
All right. So a recent NHL draftee, this Windsor kid, he was drafted fifth round in this year's entry draft by the New York Islanders, a current Windsor Spitfire as well, Matt Maggio. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. It's good to finally get on.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. I mean, joining some of your family as well, and, probably want to get them all on, but we'll talk about that as well. But I mean, you're a kid, one of those kids that got to play for their hometown team, something special. And I mean, this season in playoff was nothing short of special.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, looking back on it now, it's kind of sunk in, kind of just that run that we really went on. But for a while there, it was kind of a fever dream. I mean, you grew up, and I was lucky enough to watch those teams that they had in 2009, 2010, and the back-to-back Mem Cup teams. And just I remember going to games and kind of being in awe of Ryan Ellis and Hall and Henrique and those guys, and then just how much I idolized those guys growing up. And then to finally be there not too long after, 10 years after, and then you kind of want to be that role model that they were to you. So I think it's definitely something that was cool, and honestly that playoff experience was the best time of my life. Obviously, it was tough going down the way that we did, but just the support we had and the way that Windsor really came together there for a few months was something special to watch.
Yeah, man. I mean, touch upon a lot of things that we'll I'd like to talk about throughout the interview here, but man, what a special time it was. And again, kind of for yourself, having some local ties, I mean, just being from Windsor, your dad worked for the Spits for a one time, and cousins playing in the league, so must have been pretty cool. I mean, you're the first Maggio to actually play for the Spits, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that was something that was really important when I did get traded back to Windsor, was kind of just having that chance to either stay in Ottawa or come back, and because I had a no trade clause, so when they let me know that I was up to be traded and asked me if I wanted to accept it. Obviously, looking back on it now, is probably the best decision I could have made in terms of my career and just my personal life, being able to live at home and hang out and spend time with my family and have my family close to my friends, but also going out and driving 6-7 minutes to the rink and being able to suit up and put on that jersey that I've had in my closet since I was 5-6 years old, and kind of just that team that I grew up loving and watching.
That's really cool, man. I mean, it's just like you, the same shit that you did when you were younger, right? But now it's like the Spitfires, the OHL. It's the, pretty much top league you can get at your age and skill, right? So to be able to do that is very cool. And again, like you said, I'm sure you got to go to a lot of Spits games growing up, and now to play in the same arena too, right? A lot of people went to games at the Barn, which you might have been able to do as well. But, once you got to like high school and stuff, it was WFCU, right?
For sure, yeah. And I think just kind of even in the last few years, obviously, it hasn't been as electric as I remember it as a kid, just with the teams they had and new rink. Obviously, it's a bit bigger of a rink, and obviously, it's pretty tough to pack it. But the way that it was in playoffs and just how loud that was, I mean, everyone I talked to from around the league, teams we played against, they said that they came to Windsor and they knew it was going to be the loudest rink in the OHL. So I think that's pretty cool that we kind of cemented ourselves as having that throughout the playoff run. And I think that helped a ton. So it was pretty special.
Oh, 100%, man. And I mean, you would know, just being from Windsor and being able to watch a lot of those teams in years past, but a lot of us said like, this reminds us of the old days, right? Especially as it went on, it was just rowdier, hotter. It was everything that we remembered, really, right? And it was like you guys were recreating some of that magic. It was really cool.
Yeah, for sure. No, it was definitely a lot of fun, and still hasn't even really kicked in. Kind of what happened, for sure.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to really kind of talk about right now, because it wasn't too long ago, probably about a month ago, and at that time it was like it was the, you know, the talk of the town, obviously. And, you know, again, the way it ended for you guys, I'm sure it was a little bittersweet, right? So now that it's all kind of, the dust is cleared, it's like, holy shit, we did good, right? Like,
yeah. I think this is actually one of my first times talking about it. I knew after a few weeks after, I was just crushed. I didn't even want to really bring it up. And obviously you have everyone coming up to you and kind of saying, oh, congrats, you guys made it so far and all that stuff. And I don't know, I think I was just so disappointed in kind of the outcome and not really understanding that it's a game. It could go both sides. I feel like I took a lot of it on me just because I had some chances in that last game to score and stuff like that. But I think now that it's kind of passed, obviously just looking back, it was such a special thing. And just the way that it brought Windsor together, even if we didn't win, I mean, I don't know if it's been that packed since probably last time would be the Mem Cup.
So. Yeah, 100%, man. I was saying that, like, I don't remember seeing this many people at a game since that final. And before that was, you know, 10 years before that, right? Or 7 years or whatever. So again, just kind of alluding to what we're saying, it made those memories kind of come back and brought that feel back, you know? And again, everyone kind of does that, kind of, you know, gets on themselves as well. But at the time, it's not like, you're not looking at that, right? I mean, you're hyper-focused on one goal, right? And it is what it is, right?
For sure.
And probably a learning experience for you too. I mean, we'll get into it. I mean, this was your first playoff, right? Like you got cut off before. So to have that experience was a little bit new at that level, right? To be on TSN and I mean the exposure, right? So I'm sure there was a lot going on at once and you weren't just like, oh, thanks. Yeah, we went far. Yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I think a lot of people kind of underestimate that fact. I mean, still it's 16 to 21 year olds and it's a young league and some of these guys myself included can't even really grow too much facial hair yet. So, I don't know, it's kind of crazy just the scenarios that you get put in. And obviously basically everyone's first playoffs. I mean, I had a little bit of playoff experience just because my rookie year in Ottawa they went to the finals as well. And I kind of got to watch that, but I think being able to play, it was a totally different experience, and being a guy that was kind of counted on a little bit there definitely made it way more. I was way more into it, obviously, and obviously take some of that blame for the loss for sure. But I think that using that as a learning experience will definitely help. And if I'm back next year, I think that's something that I wake up every morning and that's the first thing on my mind is I want a revenge and I want to be the guys on the other side of that ice hoisting the cup. And just the way that I felt after that game and a lot of the guys, the way that we felt after that game, I don't think any of us ever kind of really want to go through that again. So I know I've been texting all the younger guys and making sure they're in the gym and making sure that everyone's working on things that they can and kind of just not, allowing that to happen next year is kind of my motto. And I know if I'm back, I want to win a Mem Cup and bring it home.
Yeah, because this thing isn't over, right? I mean, this team is still a contender no matter what come next year, right? So
yeah, for sure. And definitely next year, maybe try to come back and use that experience from camp again. I know when I went to Washington camp and came back, just getting to use that experience. And then especially this year with all the younger guys coming in, definitely just trying to be a leader and kind of help guys like guys helped me when I was younger in the league. And I feel like I'm pretty experienced now. I mean, that playoff run definitely added some character to all of the older guys. And I think the younger guys got to watch what we went through and kind of that heartbreak and but how hard we were playing and how many little things that we were going through. I mean, I don't know if the last few weeks there were guys in the therapy room every day. I know I was battling with some stuff. I don't know if anyone really on the team wasn't battling with anything. So I think I'm really proud of the way that we kind of sucked it up. And obviously we went to 7 games that round before. And I think that in the end kind of left us without gas there. And maybe we took some injuries in that series that definitely carried over, but I think the younger guys really got to watch that, and I know that's going to help them when they're in the spot next year and they're going to be counted on. They kind of got to watch what we went through, and then obviously for us we went through it and we know the feeling afterwards. So I think this is probably the most focused and driven I've been, not even just about myself, but making sure that I'm on all the team guys and making sure that they're ready for next year and they're doing everything they can so that we can win next year.
Oh, well, if coaching or management is listening or watching this, they got to get you on after all that, man. You kind of deserve some hair on your face for stepping up and stuff like that, man. But hey, man, you're totally right, though. You know, to have that mentality and going forward is what you guys want. And I mean, we touched upon it a little bit too, but it didn't all really start here, at least in the O, right? Obviously, you played minor growing up here, and did that lead you to getting drafted, or were you a walk on to Ottawa?
No. So I played my Sun County days over there, and then I grew up playing in Windsor. Mm-hmm. We moved out to Tecumseh when I was 12 or 13. So then I had to switch teams based on the boundaries and stuff like that. And then I finished my minor hockey career here. And then I went fifth round to Ottawa that draft. But I also got drafted to Muskegon in the USHL. Oh. So I kind of had two options there, and I was weighing school versus OHL and kind of seeing what would be the right fit for me. And eventually I chose the OHL, and I thought that was the best route for me coming in as a 15-year-old and just getting to have that experience, especially being a late birthday. I knew I didn't end up going, but I would have 3 years until my draft. So I knew that would help a lot. And I just felt like that was the right choice for me. And Ottawa was a great spot as well.
Yeah. And you were right in the heart of it all, right? So, I mean, why not, right? And let's talk about that first season a little bit, you know. Like you said, that was a good team. Deep playoff run they went on, and obviously your role was a little different. And you had someone accompanying you, and Windsor's Mikey DiPietro as well. So I'm sure it was a good first year to step into the league on a team like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, coming into the league, especially as a younger guy, obviously it's tough to really be an impact player. And then I came in as a 15-year-old, and the team that we had in Ottawa, we broke records. We went through playoffs. We won 14 straight, I believe. So it was a pretty special group, and just the group of guys that we had there. I mean, you can look at them now. There's a good group of them that are playing AHL. Some guys are getting cracks in the NHL and stuff like that. And, so looking back on it now, it was a pretty special team to be a part of. And I think that is something that my rookie year, just the way that the older guys treated me, they could have went about their business and not been a great team guy to me. I mean, I wasn't really playing much. I got sent down at Christmas, but I think they really stuck with me and made me understand that I'm young and I got a lot of years left to prove myself. But obviously playing in Ottawa, it's the capital. It's an amazing place to live. And it was just special. That team that we had, obviously, how much we would win and stuff like that. I know I could say this because I was up in the stands watching by the end of the year, so I didn't have the pressure on me. But I felt like every time I sat down in section A 115, I knew that we were going to win for a while there. So I think that was pretty cool. And then obviously Mikey DiPietro, he's been the face of Windsor for so long, and his time here, obviously the impact he had on the ice and off the ice, the goalie that he was, and helping Windsor get a Mem Cup. But then also, I think everyone knows Mikey as a great guy and a great community guy and a real leader in the community. And being able to have him come over, and he was really someone that I looked up to growing up. So to be able to finally play on the same team with him was pretty cool for sure. And I think he was a great mentor to the young guys as well. Yeah. So I think that was definitely cool. And obviously, we lost to Guelph in the finals there, which sucks. I couldn't do much about that. I was in the stands the whole time. But yeah, definitely watching that, I think that just made me realize how hard it is to really win this league, because that team that we had, I didn't think we could ever really lose. And we still did. So, I mean, it was definitely a good learning experience. And to get that over with early on in my OHL career was definitely big.
Yeah, very true. And again, that team was like, you know, they were the ones that everyone thought was going to win, right? And then you guys end up losing to Guelph and another Windsor kid and Owen Lalonde, right? So it kind of goes to show like how deep kind of Windsor hockey is. I'm sure obviously you know just from playing and your family and your dad training all these guys, how deep the local scene is too, right? So I'm sure, you know, I see you guys working out at, I think at your house, your dad's house or whatever. And everyone's joining, right? Cause there's probably like a waiting list for that. Cause there's so many good hockey players in the area. Right.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's something that is really big these days. I know my friend group, there's seven or eight of them that work out at my house. And I know they're going to have futures in hockey. Some of them are going D1, some of them are going CIS and stuff like that. And I think the crop of Windsor players is just a lot bigger than it used to be. I know there's definitely a few NHL guys, Hodgson, Pumple, Cassian, those guys, Murphy, but I think the group of guys that we have from the 01s to the 05s right now, I think those are the guys that I work out with, so I know them. But there's a lot of OHL players, a lot of D1 players, guys that are definitely making it places in hockey. And I think it's really nice to see. I mean, obviously it helps for summer skates. You can get a really good group together and stuff like that. But it kind of shows the effect that I really feel like that 2010 team really had. Just, I feel like everyone grew up watching them and fell in love. And I think that's a big reason why there's so many good Windsor players from around this age group.
Wow, that's a really good point. Kind of, you know, didn't really think of that, but it's true though what you say. You know, it kind of makes me realize. I mean, this next generation is going to be a huge pool of players, rather if they go pro or not, that are going to be all around the world playing, you know, at whatever level. So it's cool that you get to, you know, obviously interact with a lot of them, and you know, your dad's probably seen a lot of them come through as well, right? So it's kind of cool. Just little, you know, you don't notice this stuff, right? Especially like we were talking about as well in, you know, this championship series. A lot of people don't realize what's going on in the locker room. They don't realize what's going on, you know, down the road either.
Yeah, I know for sure. And I think that's something that Windsor's really good for too is, I mean, I know I skate in London in the summer a bit. My skating coach is up in London, so I'm up there quite a bit. And I head into the rink and you go into the room and no one knows each other. And then I feel like I come to skate in Windsor and everyone knows each other and everyone's good friends. So I think that's something that's really cool about Windsor is even though there's a good amount of elite players now here and there's a really good group. I mean, we all grew up a small town and everyone kind of knows each other some way or another, played on spring hockey teams or against them, or your older brother, your younger sister is friends with their siblings. So I feel like that there's definitely a sense of community in the locker room these days, and everyone seems to know each other, and it makes for a pretty cool summer skate.
Hell yeah, man. I can only imagine. And I mean, to kind of go back to, like, you know, we're talking about your career and kind of chronologically. So you're in Ottawa and you get traded over to Windsor. We talked about it a little bit as well as in the off season, but that had to have been just a special moment. You know, I mean, obviously you want to take on that role and stuff, but it had to just be a special moment for you and your family, you know, to maybe get that call and find out that's where we're going home.
Yeah. And I think it definitely took me by surprise. I didn't really think I was on the trade block at all. And then to end up getting traded and then hearing that the team was Windsor, obviously just a ton of emotions. And obviously it was bittersweet. You didn't want to leave Ottawa because I had so much fun there and stuff like that. But I think I really just had to embrace the role of coming home and just how special it was. And looking back on it now is the best decision I could have made. Being able to come back and really help the community was definitely something that was big. And I think I saw firsthand just the potential that I could have and the impact I could have on Windsor just firsthand with Mikey and getting to play with him and knowing how much people really idolized him and looked up to him as a person and as a player. And then being able to come home and try to make my own legacy like that. Obviously it took a little longer for me. I had to come back and we had a really good team in Windsor. So I didn't really play much and I kind of had to wait in the shadows for a bit and wait for my time. But I think that was something that stuck with me the last few years is just leaving a legacy and an impact on Windsor for when I'm done playing for Windsor that hopefully it's positive. And I could definitely help the young kids like the 29, 2010 guys help me.
Yeah, 100%, man. 100%. It's so true. And, you know, just having that, you know, oh, he's from Windsor stamp on you makes a big difference too, to the Windsor fans. Right. So It's always an added plus. And although, you know, you're probably familiar with the rink, familiar with some of the staff, coaching, whatever it may be, it was still a new team for you when you came in, right? So what do you kind of remember about some of your first games? First game at the WSU had to have been pretty cool too, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my rookie year, I was supposed to play in Windsor. It was, I think, October, November. So I would have been 2 months, and I was really excited to come home finally after two months in Ottawa and just be able to see my family and play in front of my friends. I was really looking forward to that day. And as that came up, I got a call from Hockey Canada saying that I'd be playing U17 out in New Brunswick. So obviously, you're not going to say no to Hockey Canada just to come home for a day. And it worked out. Going to play for Canada was definitely a really special experience, but I never got to play at home my first year. So playing there, I remember that first game in Windsor and kind of just the nerves that I was feeling. It was crazy. It was a lot of emotions. Just you're finally on the bench for the first time instead of being in the stands for so many years and watching these guys. And as a kid, I mean, it seems like everyone's so old and it seems so hard to really get into, and then you're finally there and you're like, this is pretty insane. And I just remember I looked up and I was trying not to look at anyone in the stands, but I saw a few of my buddies and I think I saw my grandma or someone up there. So definitely a lot of emotion at first, but it was something that I kind of used. I like when people come to watch me get to a little added fuel for sure. So I think I got used to that, and I used it to work on my game and make sure that I wasn't letting anyone down if they were coming to pay for tickets and watch me.
Yeah, well, you definitely lived up to it, man. It's funny you say that, because I remember earlier in the year, maybe even the playoff, I don't know, just a random moment you scored and you like jumped into the glass and, you know, people are hitting it. It's like whoever you jumped to could have been someone you went to high school with. It could be a friend. It could be anybody, right? That's just, you just know. And like, any other team, if you're not from there, like obviously that might not be the possibility or the chances, right? But it's just like you can know like half the rink for all I know, right?
Yeah, so, yeah. And I think bonus. that makes it pretty funny too, especially when I'm like, especially this year when I'm on the ice and maybe I had a long shift or something and I got to go out for a power play, or I'm bent over and I'm kind of just looking around trying to catch my breath, and then I look up and I see one of my buddies or someone that I went to high school with and stuff like that. And I give him a little smile. I can't really do too much, but it's definitely funny when I'm trying to catch my breath out there and I look around and I see someone that I know. And then you gotta turn back and focus on the game, obviously, but it's definitely cool knowing that people are there supporting you for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. And we'll talk a little bit about that too, but it's just funny. You know, obviously you're in a fishbowl and everyone's looking at you, but like, if you know that, like, you know, I'm not from here, nobody knows me or whatever, it's a little different, right? So I just remember, like, since we were talking about it, I remember like seeing that and it's just like, I wonder if you knew that person, right? Because it could be his neighbor or something for all I know. But obviously, like you talked about, man, so you waited your time, but some huge improvement for yourself and the team this year. I mean, to talk about this season, it must have just been good to get back to it. I mean, after the break too, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it all started with that COVID lockdown. Obviously, no one really knew what was going to happen. And for me personally, coming out of that second year and not really having a great year, it was kind of gut check time. I knew that if I wanted to make it somewhere in hockey, that this was going to be a little test and definitely a time where I could either come back and be the same player I was, or come back and try to be an impact player and an elite player in this league and really make an impact for myself and try to make a future out of this game and kind of turn it into a job. So I think that's when I kind of really started taking hockey fully serious, just with my diet and the way I work out and my mindset, working on different things to build confidence and stuff like that. And just taking everything. I got a shooting room down in my basement, so I'd utilize that every night. And I think that was a really big time where a lot of guys couldn't work out and skate, but obviously with my dad, he's been the biggest part of my success so far in hockey. We got a gym in the garage, so when everything's shut down, I can just wake up, roll over, head downstairs, and I'm in the garage working out when a lot of people lost access to that. During COVID, I got synthetic ice in the basement so I could put on my skates and shoot pucks, and I really just work on myself. And I mean, during the lockdown in Canada, Ontario especially, there wasn't really much you could do. So I feel like I really just took that time to drink coffee and shoot puff. So there wasn't really much else. I was no distractions for basically a full year. And I really just worked on myself. I kept to myself. I didn't really post about it. And kind of just went to work every day and tried to get better. And then headed to Sweden. And I think that really matured me. I had to go live on my own for 4 months and play pro there and just realize how good players are around the world and playing against men, how much more difficult it is and how strong and fast you have to be. And especially playing on that European ice, how much you have to really value the puck. So definitely had to work on some things there and really focused on my puck possession, which in turn built my confidence for this year. And then coming back this year, went to Washington camp, which was definitely an eye-opening experience and realizing that it's not too far away, this crazy childhood dream of playing in the NHL. It's right there and it's in grasp. So going there and coming back and kind of using that experience to really help other guys out and teach them what I learned there and coming with that added level of confidence right into the season and with a new coach in Mark Savard and then Andy Delmar. And then you have that, I think one of the best, probably the best assistant coach in the OHL and Jared Smith. He's been there forever and kind of having him as someone that was there in my second year and really helped me out when I wasn't playing much. And I think just the tandem of coaches that we had, and it starts with, honestly, I could go around everyone, the owners, Bill Bowler, the job he did this year and on, but I think coming in and new coaches and new head coach and Mark Savard and not really knowing what to expect. Everyone was a bit nervous. I mean, this guy was a stud in the NHL and we all watched him on TV growing up. And then next thing you know, he's in the room explaining our forecheck and stuff like that. So it was definitely nerve wracking at first, but I think he did a really good job. He's a great players coach and he really opened up to us and let us help him and he helped us. And I think that's what made him such a good coach down the stretch there. And I think what really happened this year, what made us a great team is kind of just how close knit we were as a group, and we were brothers by the end of the year. There, you're hanging out in hotels every day together, and I think we really just got close, and that's what made this team so good. Was kind of just the chemistry and the culture that we built around this team was special.
Yeah, man, that's actually exactly where I was going to go next, right? To kind of talk about the season, and then, you know, to talk about the group itself, you know, you already hit the nail on the head though, but like by the end of it, you know, just a tight knit group. What can you kind of say about this group? Cause like you said, at the beginning, no one really knew what to expect.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, coming into this year, obviously we knew why Johnson was going to be a special player. He's a first rounder and Will Cooley, obviously second rounder. We kind of both knew that they were going to be special players and stuff like that. And they were going to be, the focal points. And then I think we had a lot of guys step up as the year kind of went on. Luca Hno really made a name for himself and he was phenomenal all year. We had that goaltending tandem that really kind of helped us in playoffs when one was hurt or if someone wasn't having a great game, the other could step up and kind of take in that role. And so obviously I think the thing that was really special about this team is the lack of ego. Everyone left their ego at the door. Obviously, when you have Wyatt Johnson on your team, he could come in and kind of say whatever he wants, but he didn't. And I think he was the most humble guy that I've ever really played with. So when you see your best players is like that, and everyone kind of just follows in that direction. And I think that's what made us really special. No one was working for personal stats or personal glory. And we knew that the farther we went, as the year went on, that the more looks we were going to get. So I think that's what we were focused on. You see the other teams, they really care about stats and stuff like that and trying to sign contracts. And we were just focused on winning and playing for as long as we could so people could see us, which was a mindset that Savard really drilled into our heads. And he knows firsthand just how it works. So I think we all really trusted him and that's what made us so close. But then obviously, again, Bill Bowler made some great trades throughout the year that really helped us. Perrott, unbelievable player. Really just, we called him the sheriff for a reason. I mean, he kind of ran other teams' best players into the boards every game. And just the kind of guy he was, so nice on off the ice and then gets on the ice. And he's doing everything to help us win, blocking shots and killing guys and stuff like that. And then Christopoulos and Mylett, they came over and they were huge. And Curry, some of the blocks that he made throughout playoffs were insane. So those three guys were actually all huge assets in their own, and they all did their own thing. Christopoulos could score, and Mylett was a great defensive center who had some skill. And then Curry was a great shot blocker, penalty killer, stuff like that, and an energy guy that would finish his hits too. So those were some big additions. And then Onuska, obviously, coming over, he didn't really play. He was stuck behind Brochu, who is probably the best goalie in the OHL, and coming over. And yeah, I think he really, similar to, like I was saying earlier, was waiting in the shadows, waiting for his time. And he came in and ran with it. And he was great, obviously. And him and Medina really really balanced each other out and made for probably, I think, the best goalie pair in the OHL. So I think, yeah, everyone, there was obviously some big moves by Billy to bring these guys in. But I think it was just the lack of self-interest in this team and really focusing on each other and playing for the other guy instead of yourself was what made us such a good team down the stretch there. And we never turned on each other at one point during the playoffs. And that's why I think we went so far.
Yeah, man. A deep team and a reliable team. Everyone was so reliable, right? Confident in each other, and made a big difference, obviously, like you're saying. But I mean, with all that, I mean, you guys were confident in yourselves, but it had to have been maybe a little nerve-wracking at times, but that crowd was so electric by the end of it. It had to have been cool. And again, to do it in front of your hometown, in front of your family and friends, and it just being exciting like that had to have been really cool.
Yeah, I think obviously as the playoffs went on, you get more and more fans. And I think the one time that I think by the end of the year, you play 68 games or whatever, preseason games, playoff games, and you kind of learn to phase out the nerves and stuff like that. But when it's the Western Conference final or whatever, and you're there, and it's a sold out building, and the crowd was just insane. And I don't know if it was because it's a smaller rink than an NHL rink, but when it's louder than an NHL rink, you know you're doing something right, and everyone's screaming, singing the anthem with you. And I think definitely there were some nerves there, but good nerves, because all these people came out to watch us, and we wanted to win for them and win for the community. And I think that series against Flint, that was the biggest reason that we really won. Game seven at home, obviously game sevens can go either way. But coming into our rink and knowing that our fans had our back, and we get that first goal from D'Amico, and I just remember he jumps into the boards, and people are losing their minds. And I think once we got that crowd into that game, it felt like we kind of had it in the bag, just because the momentum when you have the crowd into it is it's so hard to deflate. And especially our fans, I think we got not the craziest, but some of the most into it fans in the league, in a good way.
Yeah,
and they have our backs no matter what. So they were definitely, I think, the biggest contributor to us winning that final against Flint.
That's cool to hear, man, because you can feel it. You can feel it, you know, in the crowd, but you just never know for sure, right? And I'm not a big superstitious kind of guy, but sometimes when, you know, it doesn't go your way, you're like, shit, I should have done this little thing differently. But I totally agree. As soon as that first goal was scored in game seven, I was like, I didn't want to say anything. Right? I didn't want to ruin it, but I was like, this is it.
Yeah.
This is it.
No, for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, since then, I mean, again, obviously we talked all about it, you know, not the result we wanted. You guys battled with the best team possible and, you know, showed that you guys deserve to be there and that all of you, you know, deserve the recognition you're deserving and or getting, sorry. And you're getting it too. I mean, following that, you know, again, it wasn't too long ago, but it seems like so long ago. And we had the draft go down, man, and you're selected in the fifth round to the New York Islanders. Had to have been just another special moment for you and your family. So kind of take me through, I guess, the day, you know, how you found out, celebrated and whatever.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's pretty crazy kind of how it all went down. I mean, I already missed my draft year. So coming in as a 19-year-old into the draft, you can't really expect anything. And I think going through my draft year last year and kind of not going after I thought I would have had a chance of going, definitely hurt. And I used that as fuel this year for sure. But coming into this year, I didn't really know what to expect. I knew I had a good year, but it's a draft and anything can happen. So Leading up to the draft, I set up a camp with Nashville so that if I didn't get drafted, I was going to head to Nashville the day after the draft. So I was more just preparing for that. Even what happens, I knew that most of the teams had camp the next week, so I'd have to start preparing for that. So I feel like it was a different vibe around the draft this year. I wasn't really looking forward to it as much. Obviously, it's still in the back of your mind, but I feel like it wasn't really a pressure thing. And I know internally that the main goal is to sign a contract and play in the AHL and then make my way from the AHL to the NHL. That's the dream, and that's what I'm focused on. And the draft is a good foot in the door and shows that team has some faith in you. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's about getting that contract and really making an impact once you do get the chance to play in the AHL. So I mean, leading up to the draft, I had that set up with Nashville, and I just remember draft day. I skated in the morning, and then we had a workout at my house. One of my buddies, Stefan Dobrich, was over. My mom actually went to go get me and him lunch. She was dropping off my sister at a friend's house. So she leaves the house to go drop off my sister and get us lunch. And my dad's at work, and we're just sitting on our phones. The draft's on in the background. We weren't really paying attention. There wasn't volume on the TV. I don't know why. We were kind of just hanging out on our phones. I didn't really care if I got drafted or not. And my agent calls me. He's like, "Congrats, Maddie." And I'm like, "On what?" And he's like, "You just got drafted." And I was like, "To who?" And he's like, "The Islanders." And I was like, "I just got drafted, like, to the NHL?" And he's like, "Yeah, you did." "Did I ruin it?" I was like, "I wouldn't say like ruin it, but this is how I found out." And then he goes, "Okay, we'll go celebrate." So I hang up the phone, and I was like, "There's no way." So I run back into the house, and I look at the TV, and my name's on there. And my buddy goes, "You're telling me I was on Twitter and I missed it?" And looks up, and he starts going nuts. And obviously, my mom calls me crying, and my dad's at work, and he calls me. And it was definitely a special night. We went out for dinner with family and friends that night, and definitely enjoyed it. But I don't know, it was a pretty crazy and different circumstances than the year before, where I was kind of waiting on draft day and waiting for my name to be called. And this year I was kind of just lounging around on Instagram, on my phone, hanging around after a workout, dead tired, not really paying attention. And then my agent calls me because I didn't have my volume up. So it was definitely a different experience, but I think I was just... I couldn't stop smiling the whole day. Obviously, getting drafted in the NHL is something that you look forward to since you're young, and being able to talk to Lou Lamoriello, obviously, with how storied he is. And I think everyone really knows about him in the hockey world, and being able to go to a place like the Islanders and just how historied and how storied of a franchise they are. And knowing that there's opportunity there was definitely the part that was the most special. I think I was more just focused on where I went as opposed to where I went in the draft. I really just cared about what team, and I don't think I could have been any more happy than to go to the Islanders. And obviously it made for a special day for sure.
No doubt, man. That's really cool. That's probably the way you should go about it, you know, is just not worry about it and see what happens, right? Yeah. I figured, you know, you weren't really paying attention, you know, at that point. So it's cool to hear, man. And, you know, no matter where you end up, I hope to see you kind of lead in the Spitfires next year. But no matter where you end up in the next year or two, I'm sure it's going to be a good spot. So thanks a lot for taking the time to do this, man. It's been a fantastic chat. Again, a kid from Windsor got to play for our Windsor Spitfires and has a bright future. Thanks so much, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Take care. All the best.
And there we have it, ladies and gentlemen. Matt Maggio on the Wind City Sports Podcast. Thanks, a huge shout out. Thank you to Matt for taking the time to do that interview and chat with me. A great chat, and a kid who has a bright future, of course, just the New York Islanders. I don't know why I couldn't think of it. Time flies, man. As we were talking to Matt, it seems like at the same time, just yesterday, at the same time, another lifetime that this championship series run was going on, and as well as the draft seems so long ago as well. It's just life, you know, but... anyway, man, what a stand-up kid. What a, again, a bright future he has. And
depending on, you know, who returns and whatnot, this kid should be the front runner for the C next year. Just again, as we were talking, I'm like, this kid's got it all. And a local kid too, right? Like a kid who's passionate about the team and wants to give back to the younger players and, you know, contribute for Windsor and play for Windsor. If he's back this year, he's my pick for the captaincy. And again, it all depends on who else comes back. I don't know who else I'd be forgetting, but a lot of overagers and a lot of potential overagers next year. So, you know, only I think five are going to be able to come back. And yeah, so we'll see where everyone ends up in the next couple of weeks. We do have, or we had some prospect camps go down. So we'll see if any guys get invites to training camp and stuff like that, which I'm sure they will. But see if anyone makes a team, at least for the start. And see where everyone ends up. We do have Will Cooley going off to the World Juniors. Talk about that in a minute as well. But I got to say, I was thoroughly impressed with Matt on the show, and he made it fun, you know, to shoot the shit, ask him questions, and kind of talk about, you know, just Windsor and sports and stuff like that, right? So, again, thanks to Matt for taking the time to do that. Man, that was a great, great episode, and I look forward to maybe doing some more stuff with the Maggios. They're still still at least two out of the four that haven't been on the show. So you can always go back and check out his cousin, Daniel Maggio, too. A tough SOB. He's living out in Thailand now. Changed a life. So all the best to him. Congratulations to him as well for improving his way of life. I am recording on Wednesday right now, so as this coming out Thursday morning. And the rain is starting to come down. You guys will know what I'm talking about. Look like we're getting a big storm. But anyway, we're going to talk about some local sports news. I mean, obviously, some sports, a lot of sports being played outdoors in the summer. Today will be a tough one for that. But let's get into whatever we can gather. We're going to talk about our Windsor TFC a little bit and our Windsor Stars baseball team. Go through the Twitter and the Windsor Star and see what else we might have missed in the last week or two. Last week, we had the Can-Am police fire games here in Windsor. A lot of stuff going down. Of course, this is a little bit of a different event, and you know, you were able to actually compete in some of them, and friends and family of staff were able to too. But it was a cool event to be hosted here in Windsor. They had, you know, hockey, baseball, even golf, of course, but they had some more obscure stuff too, archery and submission grappling, jiu-jitsu, wrestling, whatever, you know. So it was cool to see that in Windsor, you know, representing the city a little bit. And I got to go down and check out a bit of the submission grappling, of course. But aside from that, we have a little bit of St. Clair College and Lancer sports news. St. Clair College men's cricket team actually won the CCUC Waterloo Cup 2022. That's going back two Fridays ago. Saints defeated Brock University in the final game. With the win, the Saints will now be participating in the CCUC National Tournament in King City from September 7th through 9th. So congratulations to them. The Lancers have announced that the Tip-Off Classic in Windsor, Ontario is going to be going down yet again. Actually, it just passed. It was just yesterday at the Dennis Farrell Fieldhouse. They took on NICU from Illinois. So the OUA / NCAA partnership is back on, and I'm sure we'll see that with our men's hockey team in the near future, very soon. This Sunday, we have a big game for our Essex Ravens, the OSFL Championship. They'll be taking on the Western Mustangs at Western Alumni Stadium up in London at 7 p.m. A lot of games coming up for them as well in all their different divisions. So Essex Ravens, always a powerhouse in their division as well. So I'm sure they got more than a good chance at this thing. The Windsor Stars are heading to Sydney, Nova Scotia. See how they qualified for the national championship on Power Play Sports, actually. Some video footage there. So quietly this year, the Windsor Stars have returned and absolutely killed it in their division, going 25-3 with a 8.93 win percentage, 12-0 at home, and losing 3 on the road. So stay tuned for some more news in the upcoming weeks for the Canadian Championship out in Nova Scotia. From Windsor Star, we have a lot of golf news, actually. Essex Golf and Country Club made Score Golf's top list of top 100 golf facilities in Canada. Pretty cool stuff. And Windsor's Jasmine Lai finished 11th overall at the 108th Canadian Women's Amateur Golf Championship in Kitchener very recently. She is actually a high school student at Holy Names, and or actually she's graduated from there and now will be competing at NIU, where Luke Warnock attends right now. I had him on the show not too long ago. And we have also have some local amateurs, James Hill and Alex Morrow were among three members of the University of Detroit Mercy men's golf team who were named to the Cleveland Golf All-American Scholars. So some accolades there, as well as at the top here, the Jameson Open as well, the amateur that's always going down here in the Windsor Chatham areas at Maple City Golf and Country Club in Chatham. And we had some locals in Point West, is actually Jax Sisson once again finding success in Kent County. He closed with two birdies on the final nine holes, a one over par 73 to take the title by a single shot over another local in Ben Butchner. So some golf news there for you. Downtown Windsor is also preparing for the Play On Street Hockey event this weekend. Might be a little late to sign up, but you can go down and check that one out. It's ran by Play On, the Hockey Canada or Hockey Night in Canada affiliated event, and it should be a cool one to kind of warm us up for Hockey Fest that will be going on at the WSCU Center in 2 weeks, the same company that runs all the Spit and Chicklets events, Chicklets Cup. And finally, our Windsor TFC Soccer Club Men's League Ontario, League One Ontario, Premier Soccer League, semi-pro, similar to our senior men's baseball team, the Stars, as we just talked about. They're on a three-game losing streak and have three more to go, most recently losing 1-0 to Guelph United at the Libro Center Turf last Friday. Now all three of their, or actually we have one more home game and two on the road. They're going to be in St. Catharines this Sunday, and then the following Sunday, August 14th, they'll be at the Libro Center Turf in Amherstburg for their final game at 4 p.m. That's next Sunday against Skorosopi FC. Following that, the following weekend, they'll wrap things up in Pickering, and I do not see them making the playoffs this year. Definitely not the best team in the league, but not the worst either, with a record of 4-12-2. In a big league as well. Can't even count how many teams are on here, but they are in the bottom six. So always on the uprise for them, hopefully. But that is it this time on the Wind City Sports Podcast. My name is Drake DeMore, and thank you for listening, streaming, downloading, whatever it may be. Be sure to give us a like, follow, subscribe on social media and YouTube. Our YouTube channel is always growing, and you'll be able to watch this interview as well as a lot of archived ones on there. Also posting some previews and cool stuff. Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, anywhere podcasts are found, give us a follow on there and give us a review, hopefully a good one. Let us know what you think and who you'd like to see on if we continue to do this in the future. Tell your friends, family, training partners, coaches, teammates about the Wind City Sports Podcast and help spread the word of local entrepreneurs. Over 260 episodes, almost there's got to be 200 different individuals on the show as well, some recurring, but some just me, unfortunately. But you can also follow me, Drake DeMore, on Twitter and Instagram at Drake DeMore. And who knows when we'll be back, if we'll be back at all. But no matter what, it's never goodbye. It's just smell you later.